We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel, and today we're going to get into everything conference tournaments. Some are over, some are still happening. Cal, you ready?
Whew, I don't know if I am ready for this one. This one's about to get crazy, I feel like. No, I'm ready. Let's dive in. So I know. Much to talk about.
There's so much to talk about. Talk about a crazy weekend of conference tournament play. I don't even know where to begin, but I think we should start with the SEC and their tournament. South Carolina is the champion once again. They get that automatic bid. Let's kind of go through their performance over the weekend, plus some extra stuff. Let's start with South Carolina, Tennessee, because as we kind of mentioned previously, Tennessee was the team that played South Carolina the best. And at first in this game, it didn't look like it because South Carolina came out to a really big lead again. And you were kind of like, okay, this is how it's going to go. But little by little, Tennessee crawls back and they make it a very close game. They take the lead at one point very late in the fourth quarter. And then we get a Camila Cardoso three to win the game for South Carolina. An absolute heartbreaker for Tennessee. But man, oh man, what a moment. Cal, what was going through your mind when that Cardoso shot went in?
Just a... like I don't even know, like nothing. My mind was blank. Like of all the ways for South Carolina to stay undefeated, you could have asked me to guess a million times how it's going to happen. I would not have landed on Camila Cardoso 3, 0-for-1 in her career across 4 years before this. And we, like you said, we talked about it last week on the pod. Tennessee played them pretty well twice already. We had this matchup circled if they both got there, and they did. There's been 8 times this year where someone came within 11 points of South Carolina. Tennessee is 3 of those 8 now after this one. So you kind of have to feel for them. And Rekia Jackson, especially, who played like an absolute superstar in this game, I think put a lot of WNBA scouts on notice. Obviously, she probably has already, but she was pretty close to a triple-double against the best team in the country and just came up short of getting the win. But this was, I mean, we were only getting started on the weekend when this happened, as crazy as that is. Yeah, I don't even know, like, how. I still feel like I'm kind of, like, processing everything that happened, but this was classic March.
Classic March indeed. Oh my God. After that shot went in, I don't think I knew how to act for like the next 3 hours. I didn't know what to do. There were other games on, and I'm kind of just sitting there like, I can't believe this happened. I'm like yelling. I'm like telling my mom. I'm like, this team was undefeated the whole year and nobody's come close to winning them, to beating them. And Tennessee did. But then this player who never made a three before in her career makes the first three ever on the game winning shot. My parents were looking at me like I was absolutely crazy, but it was a really, really good game. Honestly, like, if you go back and just watch like the reactions when Cardoso hits that three-pointer, just Dawn Staley jumping up. Some of the assistant coaches were like running off. Like, it was just pure chaos, but a very well-deserved win. And obviously a heartbreaking moment for Tennessee. You really kind of felt for them. You saw Coach Kelly Harper just kind of make that face and like put her head down when she saw that shot go in. And like,
she became a meme.
She did become a meme. I instantly saved that to my camera roll. But like, as cool of a moment as that was, like, you really do feel for Tennessee. And like, I know essentially that game doesn't technically matter too much, but that still has to be a game where you're just like, we almost beat South Carolina and that's how it ends. Like, that in itself is like kind of just like a stab to the heart, you know?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter maybe in terms, I mean, we'll see. I don't think it should affect Tennessee's seed at all. Obviously, South Carolina's the number one overall no matter what. But so maybe it quote unquote doesn't matter in terms of the seed line, but it matters a lot. It went to people on both teams when you talk about South Carolina, like that undefeated season in the SEC championship that came the following game for them. That's a big deal. And for Tennessee, if they would have been able to close that out, which, by the way, they were down, I think, what was it, 23, at least 20. They lost the first quarter, 19-6.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. South Carolina jumped all over it, which kind of reversed the script because we're used to South Carolina starting maybe a little bit slow and then stepping on the gas in the second half and pulling away and winning by 30 after like a five-point halftime lead. Totally flipped the script in this one. This would have been a big deal for Tennessee too, but I think this is what March, not only like the craziness and, you know, buzzer beaters and comebacks and someone who's never hit a three in her career winning the game on one, not only all of that stuff, but for me, March also comes down to like this sort of emotional dichotomy of like all of these moments that you see simultaneously. There's absolute joy on one side and complete heartbreak on the other. And if you're like a human being with any empathy at all, you have to process both at the same time while you're watching this and somehow feel elated for all these players and coaches on South Carolina and for Cardoso for having this moment, and also just completely gutted for Tennessee, for Rekia Jackson, for Kelly Harper, and for everyone who was that close. And that's what I have such a love-hate relationship with it, because it's so hard sometimes to like kind of process both sides of all these. And we're going to get these moments again and again throughout March where someone who we've never heard of is going to hit a buzzer beater and have the moment of your life. You're going to be thrilled for him. And on the other side, someone who had a stellar career is going to watch their career come to a close on that shot, and you're going to be heartbroken for them. And having to like sort of just process all of this as a fan it's so tough, but it's what makes March so exhilarating, and I love it. I'm addicted to it. So I think this game just exemplified all of that.
That's a really great way to put all of that. And yeah, I couldn't have said it better. It really is just very much like ups and downs. And let's go to their championship game, the SEC championship game, because I will preface it by saying we're not going to stay too long on the dramatics that happened, because I think it was still a really solid weekend of basketball for South Carolina, for all of these teams. And I think that's like the most important thing that should be at the forefront of all these discussions. But near the end of the game, I don't even know what to call it. I don't know what the word is. But there are some altercations between the South Carolina players and the LSU players. And also Flau J. Johnson's brother jumping on the court and being escorted out of the building. I have no idea if he was actually arrested or whatever the reports that were that came out. But it was pretty much chaos in a different form. And I think where we're going to go with this discussion is talking about the comments of each of the coaches after the fact, the comments from Dawn Staley and the comments from Kim Mulkey, and how they very much differ in the way that they approach this. Dawn went on TV when she was doing her sideline interview after the game and honestly just apologized for what happened, saying, just talking about how emotions run really high in games like these, and that doesn't mean that that's who they are, and just gave a really nice perspective and a nice way to kind of like, you're not blaming anybody, but you're also taking a little bit of accountability and you're protecting your players at the same time for everything that happened. Kim Mulkey, like she normally does, kind of goes the other direction and says some really whack comments about wishing that her players went after, wishing that South Carolina went after Angel Reese instead, which I think is at like crazy. Like, that is an absolutely crazy thing to say as a coach, as just like anybody commenting on what happened. Like, in what way is that protecting your players? And like, low key, there are so many problematic layers within that statement itself that we should probably like peel away. But Cal, what are your thoughts on like what Dawn said versus what Kim said, and like maybe how we need to start keeping Kim accountable for the things that she says, because it seems like it just gets more off the rails every single time.
I love that you just said keeping her accountable, because we obviously rightfully so praised Dawn Staley all the time, and everything about the way she handled this was spot on as expected from her. And on the other side, like, we need to talk more about what a problem Kim Mulkey is. Like, just, I don't know how many people are going to be mad, and I don't really care. Like, piece of trash human being. Absolutely disgusting. And this is, like, just prime example of how many times have we seen this type of thing, you know, with, like, going back to how she's handled the Brittany Griner stuff, and then... like some of the COVID stuff early this year, COVID stuff.
Yes.
There's a really long list at this point. It's not like a one-off type of a thing where she said like one random whack thing in a press conference and that's it. Like, it's building up at this point, and it's, I don't know what like the correct path about it is, but we got to talk about it, like you said, and keep her accountable in some form. 'Cause like, come on, man. You can't say that stuff. I don't know, like, you just can't. And it's like you said, it's problematic. And clearly Dawn Staley, obviously the total opposite end of that spectrum, just knowing exactly what to say, when to say it, how to say it, everything about that. So that's really it. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I think just kind of cap things off, like, those type of comments takes away from the weekend of basketball even more than the fights at the end of that game did. Like, I feel like that just prolongs all of this, and we are no longer speaking about how Camila had a great weekend, about how Raven Johnson had a great weekend, Tahina Pow Pow, all these players on South Carolina, Rekia Jackson with Tennessee. Like, it just feels like it takes away from what was a really exciting weekend of conference play. And like, I know we're talking about it now, but it's more so to be like, it's just really unfortunate that things ended the way that they did. And also, just as a side note, Camila Cardoso is not like allowed to play in the first round of the tournament, of the actual like NCAA tournament. They originally said that it was going to be like everybody who got ejected. And I was like, there's no way. Like, they got rid of like both benches. And that was, I was like, there was no way that
was about to get wild.
I'm glad they corrected that, but like,
I am too. It was gonna be crazy, because the thing is too, like, and this was a possibility in the last couple minutes of that game. Even like in the NBA, there's the rule where if you're down to five and someone fouls out, they can stay in the game and you get a technical. That doesn't exist in college. So if you're down to five and someone fouls out, now you're down to four. And we could have got there at the end of that game. If what they would have said would have been true about all these players being ejected, you were going to have to really sort of manage that in terms of fouls with the first round or two. I mean, I don't think South Carolina's going to lose to a 16 seed even with five players, but still, or would have. Obviously, they don't have to deal with that. But still, it would have added some intrigue to those games. I'm glad it doesn't happen, because I don't think any of those players deserved it, certainly. I agree. This leaving the bench thing, I don't know. It seems extreme to me. I think, like, it's one thing to talk about, like, a fan coming onto the court, obviously, totally different situation. When you're talking about, like, a player who is involved in the game, just happened to not be one of the five players in the game at the moment, and there's something like this going on, and they're like, again, if you come out and start throwing punches, it's different. But if you come out to try to like pull your teammates back or whatever, or try to basically like become peacemaker, and you just happen to leave the bench in order to do that, I don't know. I think that's penalizing that is a little bit harsh. I know.
Yeah.
We weren't going to necessarily get into all that, but that's just my thoughts on that. So I'm glad that those players who that was kind of their only involvement get to play in the first round of the NCAA tournament, because I think they deserve it.
I know. I was like freaking out when that was the original report. I was like, that's crazy. But anyway, that's all for SEC talk so far. Let's move on to the Big Ten championship game, where Nebraska nearly beats Iowa, but they don't. Iowa takes it in overtime. Before we talk about even Iowa, before we even talk about Iowa, let's talk about Nebraska a little bit, because Jazz Shelley is her. She is her. In the game before, the one with Iowa, she hit like what, 6 3-pointers? Like, her jumper is so beautiful. And she hit this like really off balance shot too, that like the broadcast was comparing her to Kobe. But like in my head, I was like, that's Marine Johannes, like right there.
It is. And I just, it was the game before, I think, right? It was basically the dagger in the semifinals. I think if I'm thinking of the same one you're talking about, was towards the end of the game before. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. My thought like, too. The little one-legged incredible. End of the shot clock.
Yeah, I was like, just that's MJ right tough. There, and not Michael Jordan. So you tough. Other MJ.
Oh, that's what you did there. Yeah, exactly.
Let's not get it twisted. But what were your thoughts on Nebraska's performance overall during this weekend? And then we can move on to Iowa as well.
Nebraska is quintessential peaking at the right time team. And the fact that it would have been so easy, like when you beat Iowa the way you did in your place, I think like the whole world, from what I saw in terms of talking points and stuff, was like, yeah, Iowa's going to make adjustments. They're going to be pissed off about that. They're going to come out and win this game by 25. Like, this is hardcore revenge game energy. And that's not what happened at all. Nebraska was ready to go again from the start, jumped out to a double-digit lead at halftime. Jazz Shelley was hooping all weekend, including in this game. She averaged 20 points and 8 assists on the tournament. Crazy. I definitely would have been the MVP if they won. And they held Caitlin Clark defensively. That was the story in the first, or not the first game, the second game, but the first game Nebraska won against Iowa. They held Caitlin Clark to 4 points in the first half of this one. Obviously, her shot was off. You have to give Nebraska a lot of credit for that too. And this is the type of team, especially when you talk about Jazz Shelley, like fifth year senior. I think this time of year, you know, it's such a cliche that people talk about like seniors, experience, it matters in March, blah, blah, blah. I think honestly, more so than having the experience of having played in these games before, I think what is a big deal is when you see the end of your career in sight, when you start to see that on the horizon and you realize at any point, this could be it. We lose this next game, career's over. And that clock starts ticking, and starts ticking faster. Sometimes some of these players just have a way of taking their game up to the next level, because they know if I show up to play today, I get to play again tomorrow. And obviously Nebraska was going to the tournament anyway. It's not like losing this game ended their season, but just we're getting close to that point now. And I think Jazz Shelley is getting to that point where she is just taking over. It's Jazz Shelley time every game. And I think they're not going to get a top 4 seed. They're not going to be playing at home. But I do think that if they play the way they did in that game and in the last game in Iowa in the last couple weeks, and especially Jad and Alexis Markowski, who we should mention, who's been phenomenal, I think they could be a second weekend team.
I like it. It's kind of like that like all or nothing mentality, when you're just like, I really have nothing to lose except for the game in front of me. And I think that's kind of where Jazz Shelley and like players like that kind of have their mindset at. But yeah, Iowa escapes in overtime. And speaking of overtime, let's move to the conference that we actually placed a metaphorical bet, a figurative bet. I don't even know if anybody actually did this. We set it at over 4.5. Overtimes last week for the Pac-12 conference tournament play. We didn't hit it, but like barely. And I know
four. Like we got four.
We got four. And so like close. Honestly, I'm good with that. I call that a win in my book because we didn't actually like put any real money on it. So I think it works. But I mean, I think we got pretty excited when like one of the first games had like two overtimes in just like one singular game. We're just like, oh, we're going to hit this so easy. But we didn't, but it's fine. But USC wins the Pac-12 title with a win over Stanford. Cal, how did you like the weekend of Pac-12 conference play to kind of say goodbye to the Pac-12?
Exactly. So much fun. It makes me miss it even more. And you know, at the end, right after the championship game, they played that little montage going through all the different moments of the Pac-12 or whatever over the years. And it was like a little sad. It was like, wow, this really is over forever. Like it's never happening again. It's crazy. And what a year to end on. Credit to the Pac-12 for going out with an absolute bang this year in the regular season and now in this tournament. Two games went to two overtimes. USC-UCLA in the semis was an electric game. So much fun. And then USC comes out on top, gets to call themselves the last Pac-12 champion ever. Despite, I want to say, Juju scored 9 points. I don't have the box score in front of me. I don't think she got to 10, maybe barely. But this goes out to what I think Mark Schindler said on Twitter the other day, that USC is kind of, Juju gets the attention that she deserves. But at the same time, like, this is a team. Mackenzie Forbes won the MVP of the Pac-12 tournament, which she deserved because she stepped up big time. And this is a team that can still beat a top four team in the country in Stanford on a night when Juju's shot isn't going in, because they have players like Mackenzie Forbes and Rhea Marshall and all the Ivy League transfers. You know, their 3/5 of their starting lineup is Ivy League transfers who all have their nights. And so this is a team that can really make some noise even when Juju isn't necessarily clicking. And when she is, forget it, it's over. When she's having those nights where she's dropping 51 and you have the rest of this talent around them, forget about it.
Absolutely. And like, yeah, like you said, I was actually going to bring that up too, about Mark's tweet about like, it's not just Juju, like they are very much like built around her and they keep like picking up these like number one recruits. And so I think like they're in a very, very good spot this year. They're and honestly, class. Like coming up too. Like it's just
exactly
there won't be any rebuilding here, since I know a lot of people like throw around that word.
Yeah, not at all. They have a really good class coming in next year too, so they're not going anywhere. Yes. Juju's going to get even more talent around her in about 6 months.
Exactly. Absolutely. So very much well deserved for them to win the last Pac-12 conference tournament and championship. We'll see what they do in the upcoming March Madness tournament. I'm very excited to get into that. But let's go through some of the other champs. Notre Dame wins the ACC conference championship. They were down by a little bit in those last couple of minutes, but they're able to pull through and get the win. I know, Cal, like, Notre Dame is the team that you were very high on at the start of the season, before the season started. And obviously they've dealt with so many injuries and just hardships and things like that. But how did you like them winning the ACC Conference Championship? Another conference where we're like, this is just the most chaotic place ever.
So chaotic. And I was so impressed with their defense in this tournament. In the last couple games, especially, they play the top two seeds, because Notre Dame was the 4 seed in this league, which this league felt like the seeds didn't mean anything. It felt like anyone could beat anyone. But Notre Dame was the 4 seed, play the top 2 seeds in the last 2 games, hold them both below 55. Extremely impressed. And like you said, they dealt with some injuries this year. Obviously, Olivia Miles has been out all year, but even for players who have been playing this year, you know, Sonia Citron missed some time, but they're healthy now. They're playing well. This is another team I wouldn't want to see next week.
And Hannah Hidalgo is also her. We love
she
her.
She is
freshman her fire.
Freshman fire. So good. Hannah Hidalgo, I think if we didn't have one of the best freshmen that we've seen in a long time in Juju Watkins, Hannah Hidalgo would be the freshman of the year, and she in a lot of years would win it. She just happened to be in the wrong class. But what she's done this year is remarkable. Can't wait to watch her career unfold too.
It feels like just yesterday we were watching the Paris game, and I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I cannot believe that was like way back in November, where we saw like the freshmen in South Carolina and Notre Dame just kind of take off with Hannah and Malaysia for Wiley and all that. So like, man, I can't believe we're already like past conference tournaments and heading into March Madness very soon. But it very much feels like she's been like, Hannah has been at that level for this long, and I'm so excited. She is such a player for March, and I'm so excited to see what her and Notre Dame do as the first round gets kind of close. And then let's mention, before we get into some other recaps in previews, let's mention the Big East. While we're recording, the champion won't be decided yet, but I know, Cal, you wanted to shout out a team.
Yeah, you know, by the time you're listening to this, this will be decided, and UConn obviously is heavy favorites Monday night against Georgetown. But no matter what happens in this game, I don't care if Georgetown wins or if they lose by 60. What they've done this season and what they've done in this tournament deserves all sorts of love, because when you lose your coach, Tasha Butts passed away, you know, right before the season, and they're picked second to last in the conference, and for them to make this run, finish sixth, and then, you know, in this last couple of days, win these games to get to the championship game. And by the way, Tasha Butts' birthday was yesterday, Sunday, on the day of that they won the semifinal game. So it's really, really special. And if they somehow find a way to beat UConn, unbelievable. One of the story, maybe the story of the year, as many cool stories as we've had. But even if they don't, just like, so much props to them for what they've overcome and what they've accomplished. And it, I think it's just an incredibly cool story.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. What Georgetown's been through this season, like, I don't think anybody could even imagine. And so, like, for them to have the most impressive season ever. And, like, I think, I can't remember what the stat is. I think Mark also posted this, but it's, like, their first 20-win season. I can't remember if it's ever or if it's in, like, a while. But a 20-win season is pretty, pretty great for them. And for on the UConn side, like we know, Aaliyah Edwards is most likely going to be out with that broken nose. I think Gino said that he doesn't expect her to play in the conference tournament. Not that they need her to, but it's more so just like a comfort thing at this point. I'm very glad it's not a concussion like we did see with one of the LSU players during the weekend as well, too. Let's just put a wrap on injuries, please, because those are some very scary moments. So really glad that Aaliyah Edwards just has a broken nose and not anything else. And hopefully we get to see her back soon as well for UConn, who has also kind of been riddled with injuries just the last week. I remember, I think people were tweeting, it was like really funny that like Paige did the tip off at the beginning of the last game because that's how many players UConn was down. And I was like, oh God, that's kind of wild. I think Chelsea said that, so shout out to you.
Basically down to Paige at the five at this point. But you know, as many injuries as they've had, Paige has been healthy, and she hasn't the last 2 years before this. So UConn, I feel like the way Paige is playing, you put any four players, whoever four healthy bodies that they have left around Paige, and they got a shot. They got a shot with, because Paige Beckers has been special this year.
And hit some unreal shots in that champion in the semifinal game. So can't wait to see what she does tonight, Monday, as we're recording. But all right, those are some of the conference tournaments that we just recapped from over the weekend. And now we're going to get into some extra recaps and then some quick previews for some more games to watch.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Cal, let's go to the Atlantic 10 where Richmond wins it. I know you want to shout out the coach. Go ahead.
Yeah, Aaron Roussel, you know, I talked to him a couple times a few years ago for some articles. And you know, when you talk to someone and you can just kind of, you get the positive vibes and you can kind of tell they're all about the right stuff. And that's what I got from Aaron Roussel. And he came in there, they won 9 games the season before he got there. They're at 29 now. They're a win away from 30, and they got a conference championship. So I very happy for Aaron Roussel and that whole team. This is going back to one of those emotional dichotomy type of things that we talked about, because I'm also kind of gutted for George Mason in the way that they went out in this tournament. I think Vanessa Blair Lewis is another coach who has done an outstanding job turning around a program. They had 3 wins a few years ago, and now again another team that has won in the 20s, and she's in the top 5, by the way, for our the Her Hoop Stats Mid-Major Coach of the Year that will be awarded in a, you know, we put out the top 5 watch list, and that award will be out in a few weeks. So congrats to her, obviously, on that and on a great season. But for her season, they ended in the quarterfinals in a wild classic March matchup against Duquesne. Couple late calls in that one where they, you know, reversed like a foul that was an and one and made it on the floor. And then another one, and the A-10 put out a statement afterwards that like the refs did it wrong. Like they weren't supposed to review this and all this stuff. And so basically admitted like, hey, we made a mistake.
What a bummer.
Yeah. But you can't do anything about it now. And I mean, that I'm sure if you're on a George Mason player or coach, like, okay, cool, you made a mistake. So what? You still ended our season. What are you going to do? Like, that doesn't mean anything to us. And to end a season like they were having like that, I mean, they didn't end their season. They'll be a postseason team in the NIT or whatever the case. But I don't know. I felt really bad for them, obviously, going out like that in the quarterfinals as well. But so happy for Richmond. And I think Richmond is going to be a team that has a shot to really raise some eyebrows in their first round game in March.
I like it. I like it. And now, Cal, go through the other bids that have been punched so far and your kind of bullet points on each one. And then we'll get into some previews to end things off.
Yeah, we do have a few bids punched already. We got UT Martin out of the Ohio Valley. And I just need to get on my soapbox here real quick and not take anything away from them.
I was waiting for this. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, you knew this was coming. Shout out UT Martin, by the way. Like, no disrespect. Great for them. Cool that they get to go to the big dance. But we have talked before about the stupid NCAA rule on this pod where when you transition to a Division I team, first 4 years, you don't get to go to the tournament. And Southern Indiana is in that period right now, and they went 24-6 and they won this championship game, but they don't get to go to the NCAA tournament. And I hate it. I hate it so much. I think they deserve it. We need to get rid of this rule. Southern Indiana should be in the tournament. We'll see them in the WNIT, but they should be in the real tournament. But UT Martin gets the bid out of the Ohio Valley. Chattanooga gets the bid out of the SoCon, back-to-back years. Sean Poppy building something there. Presbyterian out of the Big South, first winning season in almost a decade. So another one of those cool stories. I love when these teams have come from the depths, and then finally, you know, they're building, and then they reach this pinnacle and they get to go to March Madness. It's just like makes me feel so good. It's so warm and fuzzy. And Marshall, earlier today, Monday, as we're recording, in the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt. There's a reason they call it the Fun Belt, because this game was so fun. Overtime against James Madison to earn the Sun Belt title and punch their ticket. Marshall is a really fun really unique team. The way they press, the way they run, the way they shoot. They actually didn't shoot very well for much of today's game, but still managed to pull it out in overtime. Mark Schindler has done some great work on them, on Marshall, and why you should familiarize yourself with this team and what a kind of fun and unique style they play. If you're not familiar, you will be seeing them in March Madness. So go read Mark's work before that. And we got some more bids to be punched this week, obviously, but that's in addition to the Power Conference ones, that's what we got so far.
Love it. Thank you so much, Cal. All right, let's get into some previews, and we'll start with the Big 12 already underway, but championship game is on Tuesday night. So the day that this podcast comes out, as we're recording, Iowa State defeated Oklahoma, and we're still awaiting Kansas State versus Texas. So by the time you're listening to it, you will know who is set for that championship game. Thoughts on Iowa State and Audie Crooks, and also Oklahoma's kind of like run to cap off the end of the regular season, because they've also been pretty impressive.
Oklahoma really, really turned their season around after losing at home to Southern University somehow and proceeding to go on and wing the Big 12 outright. Just college basketball, make it make sense. And now Iowa State, you know, then they run into this Iowa State buzzsaw today. And
that's a great way to describe this team. Yeah.
Yes. And Addie Brown, the freshman, and of course, Emily Ryan as a senior leader on this team. But those two freshmen, when you look at the recruiting ranks, and this is why the recruiting ranks, they mean something. Obviously, Juju was ranked first, as she should have been. But just because you're ranked 50th or 30th or 40th or whatever doesn't mean that you can't come out and be one of the best freshmen in the country. And that's where these two were ranked. And they have given Iowa State a massive, massive boost after what they lost last year in terms of most of their starters, Ashley Jones being the big star that they lost. And you bring in Crooks and Addie Brown, who we talked about. This team is really fun, and they can really do some damage. And then on the other side, I'm excited to watch this Kansas State Texas game tonight that again will be done by the time this pod is out. Texas, I think it is definitely the favorite here in this one, and if they move on in the championship game. But this is not one of those like UConn type of conferences where, you know, you have a surefire thing. Kansas State, Aoka Lee is a problem for anyone, and they obviously they lost her for a little bit earlier this season and all of last season, so they don't know how to play without her too. But what they've been able to do under Jeff Mitty, I think this year has been also incredibly impressive. And this game tonight and then the championship game Tuesday night are going to be two of the best games of the week, I would say.
Yeah, so there you go. Kansas State versus Texas on Monday night, and then the championship game between Iowa State and whoever wins that one will be Tuesday night, so make sure you watch that. Besides the Big 12, there are also 21 other bids up for grabs this week. We're just going to talk about some of the more dominant teams in the specific leagues, and I'm going to start us off with Gonzaga in the WCC, because I do have to shout out one of my favorite Canadians and a senior who is returning for Gonzaga next year, and that is Yvonne Ejim, who just also won the Defensive Player of the Year and Player of the Year in her league. I mean, what a year. Canadians kind of rock, don't they, Cal?
Canadians are awesome. Canadians are so cool. I don't know why you would think that. You have nothing in particular why you would bring that up.
Yeah, I have no connections to Canada at all.
No bias or anything like that. This.
Definitely not recording this in Canada right now. But no, she's just been really cool. Obviously, Brenna Maxwell as well, too, who we had on the podcast. I think it's probably like a month ago at this point, by the way the weeks kind of fly. But Gonzaga has been really, really fun to watch. Going through some of these other teams, do you have any that you kind of want to mention or give some love to as well? You know, I had to shout out Yvonne first.
Yeah, you did. And she's on the Becky Hammon Mid-Major Player of the Year watch list, by the way. Top
yes,
five.
She is.
So we should give some love to that as well. There are some other teams, you know, out of those 21 bids up for grabs, there are some teams that are very, very heavy favorites that, you know, I don't want to like dismiss or discredit any of the other teams in these leagues, but that, you know, some of these teams, including Gonzaga, went undefeated in their league, and it would be a very big upset if they don't go undefeated through their conference tournament as well. And I think, and then there's some other ones we'll get into after that that are a lot more sort of up for grabs. But in terms of some of those teams who are kind of separated themselves from the pack and outside of Gonzaga, you got UNLV in the Mountain West, who's getting started tonight. Mountain West started yesterday. UNLV has a bye. They start tonight. Fairfield in the MAC. Not to be confused with the MAC. It's two A's. So it's not the MAC. It's the MAC. And Fairfield, by the way, there are two teams in the country who have not lost a second game yet. Obviously, South Carolina's undefeated. And then there's Fairfield. One loss. Came back in the first week of the season in November on the road at Vanderbilt at an SEC team. They lost by three. They're 3 points away in a road power conference game from being undefeated this year. So if you're not paying attention to Fairfield, time to start paying attention to them. Mark Schindler, take a shot, brought him up again. Had a great pod with Fairfield's coach, Carly Thibault Dudonis, that you can go listen to. Really got into kind of what is making them successful this year. They got a couple freshmen as well. One in particular, Meg Anderson, who's played really well this year. Middle Tennessee in Conference USA is another one that you should watch out for, I think, in March, and one that is heavily favored in their league. Anastasia Boldareva, anchoring the inside on both ends. Fun to watch. Green Bay and the Horizon. This one is not quite probably as a sure thing as some of those other ones. I think Cleveland State could give them a lot of trouble if they both make the championship game, but I do think Green Bay's favored here. And Green Bay, a team that I saw in person this year, and they're scary. They're so athletic. They're so tough. The way that they defend, the way that they can shoot when they're on, that's a team that I think could. And they've had success before. So this isn't one of those teams like we talked about with Presbyterian or whoever else, where this is kind of a new deal for them. They got experience having success in March. So watch out for them. South Dakota State. Were you going to jump in?
I was going to ask, like, actually real quick before we keep going, like, because you went to a lot of games this year. So I was going to actually ask you, like, who is your favorite team to watch, or like which arena was your favorite to go to?
Oh, that's a good question. So, you know, outside of Illinois State, of course, my favorite team.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to keep the bias out.
Yeah, we biased always. My favorite team that I've watched, that's a great question. Honestly, I would say my favorite team and my favorite arena, probably Nebraska. I think going to Nebraska and seeing them win that game and seeing how lit that place was, I think that was incredibly fun, and I really enjoyed it all around. That's a great team to watch, great place to watch a game. So I would say that's the answer for both questions. I'm glad you asked. That was a fun question.
Yeah, because you mentioned going to see the team. So I was like, I got to ask him who's his favorite.
Yeah, I have seen some of these teams. Green Bay I saw this year. UNLV not this year. I did see him in person last year. South Dakota State is another one I was going to get into. You know, it used to be kind of this rivalry between South Dakota and South Dakota State for the top two in this league. And South Dakota's fallen off a little bit since Don Plitzewite left. South Dakota State sort of owns this league now. So they went undefeated through the Summit, and they'll be obviously favored in that league. FGCU, kind of every year, same deal with them, favored in the A-Sun. And if you're like an analytics nerd, if you're listening to Her Hoop Stats because you actually like the stats and all that stuff, you should check out FGCU because they take like one mid-range jumper a week. They're just the classic analytics nerd, like layups and threes type of team. And it's really fun in that respect what Carl Smesko does there. I think I saw an article about him one time that called him, I apologize for forgetting who wrote this, so I can't credit you, but they called him the mad scientist. A couple of people I've talked to that worked with him before say that that's an accurate descriptor. So fun team. Stony Brook in the CAA, the Coastal Athletic Association this year. It used to be the Colonial, changed it this year. Stony Brook has had an awesome season under Ashley Langford, who has had to navigate them through kind of a tough transition of conference a couple years ago. When they were the America East and they were having a really good season, and they they announced that they were leaving. The America East didn't let them play in the conference tournament because they were salty about them leaving, and they were having a good enough season that you know, they really deserved to be able to play in that, and navigating them through all that and then bringing them back to probably an even better season this year. I think great story. Ashley Langford's done an awesome job with them. Jackson State in the SWAC, another one year in, year out. Tamika Reed does an outstanding job there. I will never, ever, ever in my life get over the game when they lost to LSU in the first round of the NCAA tournament a couple years ago, when they were up 9 or 10 with a few minutes left, and LSU came back and won that game. It hurts my heart every time I think about it. And
I can feel the pain.
I will feel so good for Tamika Reed and Jackson State if they can ever win a tournament game and sort of exercise those demons from that one. But and then the last one, sticking with the HBCUs here, is Norfolk State in the MEAC. Diamond Johnson, who a lot of people who only follow power conferences probably are familiar with from Maryland and Rutgers. Is that right? No, NC State. Why am I drawing a blank on this? I've NC State and one of those other two schools. Which one was it? I should know this, but she's played some power conference basketball, and she was not going to be eligible at the beginning of this year. And then they made that ruling where the two-time transfers did become eligible. I believe that was in December. So ever since they've gotten her eligible, they have been on a tear, and they're going to be the heavy favorites in the MEAC conference. I think that's a team that another one that you can look
You're
for.
Right. It was NC State and Rutgers.
NC State and Rutgers. Okay. You know what? I think I had Diamond in my head, and Diamond Miller went to Maryland.
There are so many diamonds.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that was throwing me off.
That's fair.
Yeah. So my bad on that one, but Diamond Johnson, fun to watch at Norfolk State. And yeah, I think those are probably the teams I'm kind of looking at as sort of heavy favorites. And those are also the teams that if you're a bubble team, you're rooting for those teams, because if someone knocks them off, I'm not saying all 10 of those would be at-larges. Certainly like Gonzaga would be an at-large. UNLV would be an at-large. I think it'd be a travesty if Fairfield lost and wasn't an at-large. But that, you know, maybe not all of them, but if you're a bubble team, you need those teams to win their conference tournaments, those teams that we just listed, because if someone knocks them off, that takes away an at-large spot, because now you have the auto bid going to someone else, and then you'll have whichever team from that league that we just listed is going to get a bid too. And that league gets two bids instead of one all of a sudden. So if you're a fan of a bubble team, that's those 10 teams. That's who you're rooting for this week. And I think those are the teams that are heavy favorite. And then there's some ones that are wide open and who knows. And those ones are going to be really exciting as well.
Yeah. Some other fun ones that could see upsets. I'm personally excited for the Ivy League. Princeton and Columbia, they're going to be playing. And then I forget who the other two teams are, but I'm excited
Harvard
to see.
Is in there. I can't remember Harvard the fourth one.
But I was just looking at it too, so I probably should remember. But for those of you who haven't been able to watch Princeton this season, like, and I'm also biased on this because I may or may not be doing an interview with her this week, but Caitlin Chen is a hooper. She is
Hooper.
Like, she is the definition. Like, when you look at players, like Hannah Hidalgo is like another name that I would categorize as like being a hooper. Like, she's just got this like innate ability to get buckets and score in ways that are just so fun. She's so quick. Like, she is a driving force for Princeton on the offensive side of the floor. And yeah, that's, she's definitely one of my players to watch as they kind of start their conference tournament as well. But yeah, do you have any thoughts on Ivy League or any of these other leagues that we're going to get into?
Yeah, you know, most of the conferences have everyone make the conference tournament, although that's going to not be the case as much next year when some of these power conferences expand to 18 teams because they're soaking up the Pac-12 leftovers. But right now, most conferences do it that way. The Ivy doesn't. The Ivy didn't used to have a conference tournament, and when they implemented it a few years ago, they only four teams make it out of the eight. So that's why we couldn't remember who the fourth team was, because not everyone makes it. But I believe it's Harvard is one of those other two. Princeton and Columbia are the favorites, though, and those are the teams that I think a lot of us would expect in the championship. I really don't know who would win that game. I think both those teams would have a legit shot. They split in the regular season. Like you said, Caitlin Chen on one side, and then Columbia, you got Abby Shue another one who has been on lots of award watch lists last year, the Becky Hammon, the Ann Myers Drysdale. I think we talked about her when I went through my ballot for the top 10 of that one. Mm-hmm. And if you need a reason to look at the talent of those two and other players in the Ivy and look at how good it is, number one, they've had a couple of first round WNBA draft picks in the last few years. And Abby Myers, who went to Maryland her last year, but she came from Princeton, and then Bella Allery from Princeton as well. And number two, we talked about USC, three of the five starters on what is at least a top 10 team came from the Ivy League. So when you talk about the talent in this league, like, it's no joke. There's some talented players. There's some hoopers in this league. Going to be a fun one this coming weekend. And two others that I'm watching are the WAC, California Baptist, Grand Canyon. We talked about that end of regular season game on last week's pod. California Baptist did win that game in overtime. It was as thrilling as it was set up to be. And they are on a collision course if no one upsets them to meet again in the conference championship. And that dumb rule that affected Southern Indiana this year, that affected California Baptist when they went undefeated a few years ago. Now they're past that period. So if they can win this conference tournament, they will get into the NCAA tournament for the first time ever as a Division I team. That would be exciting. But Grand Canyon, it's a fun story too. Coached by Molly Miller, came from D2 just a few years ago. And led Drury to all sorts of success there, was a national power in D2. And so I think both of these teams are our team. I'll be tuning into that one if they meet up in the championship game. And then the last one, I'll be at this one in person, MVC, Missouri Valley. Drake is 19-1. They're the one seed. They're the favorites, obviously. But last time that a top three seed, a one seed or a two or three, won this league was half a decade ago. It was 2019. It's been a while. This is a league that always has.
Stop. 2019 is half a decade ago. That's crazy.
You feeling old now?
Just a little. I'm starting to get up there, you know?
Yeah, you really are. You really are. You're probably getting letters from retirement homes pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Four seeds, five seeds, six seeds, a lot of success for non-one seeds in this league. As a fan of the five seed, I hope that continues. We'll see. But Drake is going to be a very tough out in this league with another Hammond watch list. Remember, Katie Dinnebier leading the way. And Drake, we saw last year, they almost knocked off Louisville in the first round of the NCAA tournament when they got in. So I think if Drake does come out of this league, that's going to be a really dangerous opponent for someone. But again, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in this league can all beat each other on any given night. So it's going to be chaos before the chaos. And I am excited to be there in person and see it all go down. Just another one that I think has no foregone conclusion at all. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Love it. I hope you have so much fun. Also, for those wondering, the fourth Ivy team is Penn.
Thank you. Thank you. Was Harvard the third? Were we right about
yes,
that?
Yes, Harvard. Yeah, Harvard was the other one. Just had to get that in there because it was going to bother me if I didn't pull it up, because I kid you not, I was looking at it 5 minutes before we started podcasting. So you'd think I would remember. But it's been a long day. It's been a long podcast. Thank you so much for sticking with us throughout all this. If you're still here by the end, we went through recaps. We went through previews. We went through lots of conferences, lots of teams, lots of players. Conference tournaments will be wrapping up this week. And then we will have Selection Sunday on the 17th. And then March Madness Round 1 begins March 20th. It's literally around the corner, Cal. How excited are you for the tournament to start? I can see you beaming already.
I'm bubbling over with excitement. We're in the middle of the three or four greatest weeks of the year right now. And I just like every day living the dream right now. I don't even know what to say.
Love it. We love
hoops all day.
Hoops all day on Her Hoop Stats. You can make sure to catch us on wherever you listen to podcasts, on YouTube. Coast to Coast will be back every single Tuesday with more coverage. You can follow us at social media. Wow, it's been a long pod. At Her Hoop Stats, myself at Karina MM, Calvin at CWetzel31, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.